Well, welcome to church. It's so good to be here. Now, I'd love to start off with a car story today, or maybe my driving stories, but instead I'm actually going to start off by sharing a time, like a Christmas, because it's coming up to Christmas, when I was a kid, and we got a great present, me and my siblings. We woke up in the morning and we went down into the lounge room where Mum and Dad were, and they gave each one of us a present. They put it in our hand, so we're like, oh, this looks good. It was small, but that doesn't mean anything. We unwrapped it, and it was a chocolate bar. Now, my sister was like, woohoo! But me and my brother were, you know, trying to be very gracious, like, oh, that's great, Mum and Dad. Oh. And then Mum and Dad said to us, why don't you just go out into the backyard? So we made our way into the backyard, and they said, and have a look around. So we did, and hidden behind some trees in our backyard were three shiny new bikes. Now, we were so excited. The chocolate bar was great. Yes, it was great, but a bike was even better. And we were just like, oh, Mum and Dad, thank you so much for this wonderful present that you've given us, this abundance that you have given us. And that's what I want to speak about today, the abundant life. You know, many of us, I'm sure, have been asked questions that we're like, now, well, I'm not sure if I know the answer to that. I may need to go back and do a bit of research. But I'm sure most of us in here today, if we were to ask, if someone was to ask you this question, why did Jesus come? We would know the answer. Would everyone agree? He came to give us life. He came so he could die on the cross and rise again on the third day for you and I for our sins. He came to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father, and he came so that you and I could have eternal life. And that's true, isn't it? John 3:16, we already heard this in the communion, tells us that. For God so loved the world, a very well-known scripture that most of us should know, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But Jesus didn't just come to save us from something. He saved us into something. Not just rescue us from sin and death, but an invitation into life. And Jesus himself tells us exactly what kind of life he came to give. In John 10:10, it says this: the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This is one of the clearest statements that Jesus made about why he came. He lays out two voices, two paths, and two outcomes. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come so that we have life and life to the full. These two purposes will never meet in the middle because one takes and one gives. One leads to emptiness, confusion, and lack, and the other leads to purpose, joy and wholeness. And every single one of us gets to choose which voice we follow, which path we will walk, and which life we will embrace. So what does abundant life mean? You know, people have very different ideas of what abundant life could look like. It may mean wealth. It may mean a successful job. Maybe it might mean being a social social influencer, interpreter. Oh, it may mean having everything looking good on the outside. It may mean family, having healthy children, being a good person. But when Jesus speaks of life, he's not just talking about breathing and existing. The Greek word he uses for abundantly is peristosis, which means outstanding, above and beyond, exceeding, more than sufficient. Jesus came so we could truly live. If this is the life Jesus came to give, what does it look like in our everyday walk? Abundant life could look like this: a life filled with purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says this: for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we, you and I, are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We are not an accident. You are not an accident. You weren't just a random thing that came into this world, because God has a plan for you and it is good. We are God's masterpiece, which means a work of outstanding artistry, skill or workmanship. We have been created by a loving God, filled with purpose to bring glory to his name." And today, if you're not sure what your purpose is in God, I know Holy Spirit can speak to you. Abundant life is a life anchored in hope. Romans 15:13 says this, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with sufficient hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Real hope, anchored in God, doesn't fade when struggles come. Real hope doesn't run out because it's found in God. Having that understanding that our hope is in God. You know, abundant life is a life marked by his presence. And thank goodness for that. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of your life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Abundant life isn't about what's happening around us. It's about who is with us. What did Moses say to God when he was with the children of Israel before leading them into the promised land? "I don't want to go unless you go with us." How will they know that we are any different, Lord God, unless your presence goes with us? And I'm not ashamed to say that I love the presence of God. And I'm so thankful that his presence is with each one of us in everyday life, Monday to Friday, not just Sunday. His presence brings such a testimony of who he is in our lives. And I'd love to say that that's where it ends. But the truth is, abundant life doesn't mean we have an easy life. Sorry to tell you that. It might be a newsflash. Jesus never promised a life without challenges. In John 16:33, it says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Abundant life doesn't automatically mean financial prosperity or smooth sailing or no more problems. But it does mean, and here's the good news, that we have a peace that we can hold on to that surpasses all understanding. We have a joy that doesn't depend on the circumstances that you and I go through. We have a purpose that carries us through every season we go through. And spiritual blessings like grace, healing, hope, and forgiveness. Abundant life isn't measured by what's in your bank balance, thank the Lord, but it is measured by who you belong to. Jesus, our Saviour, our Redeemer, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is with us. When we experience challenges, we can be assured that God is with us and he is good. The abundant life Jesus promised us is not the absence of hardship, but his presence in it with us. We see that clearly lived out in the life of David. David's life shows us what that abundant life looks like in real and difficult circumstances. You know, David experiences some really, really strong and challenging times in his life. He was overlooked by his family. He was hunted by King Saul. He was threatened by enemies. He walked through literal valleys of the shadow of death, and he even faced the consequences of his mistakes. But David knew something, and you and I can also know this with such confidence. He knew the thief could never take the presence, purpose, and protection of God. Yes, there will be uncertainty and struggles, But an abundant life means our lives are anchored in who God is, not in what life brings. This is what abundant life looks like, knowing who walks with you even in the valleys. And it's from this lived reality that David declares in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is with me, he leads me, he restores me, he anoints me, he prepares things for me, my cup overflows." Because of this abundant life, David had purpose. You know, even as a teenager or a young child, he had purpose in looking after and protecting his father's sheep. And he went on to become God's chosen king. Even in seemingly simple and easy tasks, he had purpose. He had hope in every season. Even in his struggles, David would declare at the end of saying things, "Yet will I praise him." I may be going through a tough time. I may be going through something that I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be, but I am going to stand here and declare, "Yes, Lord, this is what I'm going through. I'm going to be honest with you, but yet will I praise you, because your name is above every name and you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and my hope is anchored to you and your name." He had protection when lions, bears, and giants came. This is what David said when he came up against a giant. "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You come against me this, but I come against you with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." But he had confidence, and you and I have confidence today, because with God there is nothing above his authority or beyond his ability. That is the God we serve. When struggles, when fears, when stress, when pressure, when things come up in our life, we can say, "You're trying to come against me, fear, but right now I come against you in the name of the Lord who is with me. His presence and his hope and protection is with me, and yet will I praise him, for he is good." Oh, his protection is with us every day. And David had joy in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness, not lack, but fullness of joy. He had restoration even when he made mistakes. And let's face it, we all do. What did David say in Psalm 51:10-12? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew me. Even in my mistakes, Lord God, you are with me and you renew my heart. You show me who you are in my life. You don't leave me. You don't leave me in my mistakes, but your presence is ever present, being a shield, a guide, and a hope." And David had confidence that goodness and mercy followed him, which we see in Psalm 23, verse 6. And I know you may have seen this before, but I can just imagine David walking along going, "Oh, goodness and mercy. Oh, look, goodness and mercy behind me. Goodness and mercy." And that's what we have. Goodness and mercy surrounding us and being with us and following us every day of our life. David's life wasn't perfect and he didn't get it right every time. But yet his life was full and it was abundant because he knew God and chose to praise him and follow him. David's life points us forward to something even greater, the life that we find in Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John and the life of Jesus gives is filled in the Gospel of John. This is just a few examples of this theme that he has in his Gospel. In him, in Jesus, there is life. Whoever believes has eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. This is eternal life, that they may know you. By believing you, you may have life in his name. If you are not sure this morning, let me encourage you, there is life in Jesus for you and I. And not just any kind of life, abundant life. Life to the full, because it's who he is. John isn't describing a concept. He's describing a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. According to John, life in Christ begins here and now. It's living in a relationship with God. It's hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's being part of His family. It's full of meaning and purpose and continues even beyond death. Eternal life is not something you receive when you die. It begins the moment you choose Jesus and choose to follow Him. David's life shows us what an abundant life looks like, living under the care, the protection, the presence of the Good Shepherd. And one of the clearest pictures Jesus gives us of this is found in John 10. In John 10 it says, 7 and 9, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" Now, some of us might say today, why is Jesus describing himself as a door? It may not mean much to us, but when Jesus said this, his listeners knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, in ancient times, shepherds didn't just clock off at 5 p.m. They were with their sheep day and night. During the day, the sheep would be grazing, and at night they would be brought into a pen that was just made out of stones, but it only had one entry point. And this is where it becomes interesting. At night, the shepherd would lie down across the opening, and his body would become the door. Nothing got in unless it went over him. Nothing got out unless it passed through him. He was the protection. He was the boundary. He was the safety. And he was the covering. So when Jesus says, "I am the door," he is saying to you, "I am your protection. I am your access to the Father. I am your safety, your covering, and your provision." This morning, he is our boundary. You know, if something is happening in our world and we're thinking, "God, what do I do here right now? I've got a decision to make. I'm not sure which way to go. Do I go this way or do I go that way?" You know, God, because of his goodness towards us, his hedge of protection around us, he will say, "This is the boundary that I'm giving you right now. It's not a boundary of constriction. It is a boundary for your protection, because it's who he is. And he knows what he has for your life, and he knows what he wants you to walk into." And sometimes what seems like a stop sign isn't a stop sign. It's actually a boundary of his protection and his goodness in your life. You know, just this week I was asked a question, and I went home and I've actually prayed about it, and I've talked to my husband about it. I said, "God, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? Do I go this way or that way?" And you know what? Thank the Lord God that his boundary, not a stop sign, but a hedge of protection. And I felt God say no. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to trust you in this, because I know that you have the best for my life. You have the best for my family. There in you is hope. In you is joy. In you is your presence and your fullness of joy." So please don't see it as a stop sign. See it as a boundary for your protection because of who God is in your life. David understood this so well. In Psalm 23 verse 4 it says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." David knew God as his protector, not because he read about it, but because he lived it. As a shepherd boy, he fought off lions and bears to protect his father's sheep. And throughout his life, he experienced the goodness, the covering, the safety, and the protection of God again and again. Jesus is our protection. It's easy to say, "You know what? Don't worry. Just be happy." I'm sure that was a song. But the reality is, we do have moments where we worry. We do have moments where we feel afraid. And we do have moments when we feel stress. But in those moments, it's choosing to, "Yes, I am feeling this way. I'm going to be honest with God and say, this is how I am feeling. But I know that you are with me, and I need that to come out of my mouth in those times. I declare that I will praise you. I declare that you are with me. I declare that your protection is with me. Choosing to say I'm struggling, but you are with me, helps us through those valleys when we're walking through them. He is the door, the one who guards us, leads us, covers us, and provides for us. This is the abundant life he wants us to walk in. This is the heart of Jesus for us today. He's not distant. He's not passive. He's not watching from a distance, hoping that we just make it. He is with us every step of the way. He is the door, our protection, our provider, our source of abundant life. He opens the way to everything the Father has for us. But here's the truth. A door only benefits the person who chooses to walk through it. Jesus is offering protection, but we choose whether we walk through. Jesus is offering purpose, but we choose whether to trust his leading. Jesus is offering abundant life, but we choose whether to follow his voice. Is there something that you need today? Are you needing his protection, his strength, his peace, or a revelation of the abundant life he has given you? You know, when I decided to do Bible college, I started off on the first day and I said, God, if this is really what you want me to do, I know some of you may have heard this before, but if this is really what you want me to do, then I need a part-time job to help me with it while I'm going through Bible college. And the very next day, I got a phone call saying, do you want to come and do some relief work in an after-school care program? No, I'm good. Of course I didn't say that. I said, yes, thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes answers come quickly. Sometimes they take a bit of time, but it doesn't mean that God is not still with you or looking after you. So I started this job, and at the end of Bible college, at the end of that year, I'd only planned to do 1 year. And at the end of the year, when they started saying, does anyone want to do second year? And some people put up their hand, I'm thinking, oh, you sucker. You know, I just want to get out of here. You know, I've done my year and let's go. Sorry for the honesty, but that's just what I was thinking in my redeemed life. But then I felt Holy Spirit say, I want you to do the second year. Now I had a choice. Jesus was saying to me, I am your door of purpose and hope. Are you going to choose to walk through and be obedient, or are you going to say no? So I had to eat a bit of humble pride and pray and say, okay, God, I choose to follow your voice. It wasn't what I was planning, but I know you have the best for my life. And wouldn't you know it, in second year Bible college, they introduced a third year. First time, never had had it before. A third year. And I had that moment again where I'm like, oh, who wants to do third year? 2 years. Thank you, Lord. I've been obedient 2 years. I've done enough. But then you get that little tap, that little nudge, that little voice inside saying, maybe you need to do a third year. And a third year was a practical year. So I then had to go, okay, God, okay, I choose to be obedient to you. I choose, because you are my door of purpose and hope, I choose to walk through and be obedient. And this one time, this is the only time I ever sat next to this guy in church. It was a Sunday morning. I sat down next to him, and he was at that time the leader of Students for Christ, which was would go into the universities in Adelaide. And I sat down next to him, and I can't remember all the conversation, but all I know in that moment, the Holy Spirit brought us together. And we had this conversation, and then I knew that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, I want you to work with him doing Students for Christ. Now, I'm not an evangelist by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I find it really hard sometimes just to talk to people, let alone letting them know that I love Jesus more than anything. And he's given me hope, and he's given me protection, and he's given me eternal life and salvation. But I had to put my big pants on and go in there and be a light to people that didn't know Jesus. And I thank God that I chose to walk through the door that he was giving me. He gave me this opportunity, and I thank God I chose it. this morning, is there an opportunity that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, I want you to take this. I am the door of your protection. You may have uncertainty in it. You may not know what's going to happen, but let me assure you, I am with you. My peace, my presence, and my protection is with you. I'm just asking that you step through that door and see what God has in store for you, because He is a good God. He loves us so much. Do you believe that today? Let's bow our heads in His presence. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you have given us abundant life to walk all the days of our life, that you are with us every step of the way. And if there's people in this place, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't know what this abundant life is that I'm talking about. This hope, knowing where we go when we die, that I'm just going to say this prayer, and I know everyone's going to join in with me. I'd love for you to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I declare that you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I choose to follow you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.